This is a special Bible study, Romans 14. I've accumulated some questions that have come in concerning various topics in the Bible. And so we will look at those and analyze those and answer the questions concerning it. Now, first of all, let me give you just a little background in my thoughts and approach of first translating the New Testament, and then with the great help of Michael Heiss, who's in the back row there, and he believes in what Jesus said, take the seat in the back and then be invited up. We have one here, Mike. He and I have been friends for a long time. Matter of fact, we ran on the relay team together. Yes. At AC. Yes. And a crowd was cheering when I was running, and I was wondering what they're cheering about. They said, move over to the inside lane. I never heard that. But anyway, I told Mike I could handle the English part of it if he would handle the Hebrew part of it, and he's done a wonderful job in going through and bringing everything up to clarity and everything up to what we need to have so it accurately reflects the Hebrew and gives us the sense of what it's really talking about. Now, the first question is, let's come to Amos the third chapter. Amos the third chapter and verse 3. Now, someone sent me a question on this because on a website, a Church of God website, they put up there that Amos 3:3 means that to walk together means to have an appointment. Now, it could mean that in the Hebrew, but they stretched it to mean that applies to the appointed feasts of God, now, which it doesn't. So let's read it here. Okay. Verse 1, Amos 3, page 672. Verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for your iniquities. Now that's what we're going through today. And I've got a letter coming out, a 9-page letter showing that it's not the physical problems or the economic problems that are our problems, it's the underlying spiritual problems behind that the nation needs to repent of. Because the economic problems, the political problems, are only a reflection of the moral problems, and the one who was elected president was elected by the majority of people who believe very similar to what he believes. So we're seeing some of the punishment here. Verse 3. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Now, walking together means you walk with God in His way. Now, you could stretch it to mean an appointment, but to stretch it further to mean an appointment with feast days, though that may be generally a true premise, that is not what the verse means. It means just what it says. If you're going to be on God's side, you walk with Him. God is not going to compromise and come on your side your way. You have to repent and come to God on His side and walk in His way. Most of the Christian denominations of the world have it backwards. So that's the meaning here. Does not mean it doesn't have anything to do with holy days. Now, in that vein, what was my approach to translating the New Testament and the Old Testament? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us your word is truth. The Bible says that your commandments are true, your laws are true, and your word is true from the beginning. So what was given in the original books of Moses, the prophets, the writings, the Gospels, the general epistles, the epistles of Paul, the book of Revelation. The originals were inspired directly by God, and Paul calls them God-breathed. Now, always remember this, because the excuse comes up, well, men wrote it. True. But remind them of Balaam. Because Balaam was a false prophet. Balaam wanted to do his own thing. Balaam wanted to have the money. And when he got up to curse, what happened? God made him bless, right? Okay. Simple answer. If God can make Balaam speak the truth, who is an inveterate liar and greedy and covetous, can he make men dedicated to God write the truth and put it in the way that he wants it? Of course. Now let's come to 2 Peter, the first chapter, and we'll see how Peter brings it out. 2 Peter, the first chapter. So we approach all of God's word as truth, which means that we need to get the best Hebrew text and the best Greek text to translate from. And that's why we have the commentary concerning which text, how do we know which one, and so forth. We have all of that covered there in the commentary. Now here's another reason that Jesus did what he did. Because just like with us, I'm sure in our lives and coming to God, what did God do with us? Was there a signal point in your life that you can look back and remember and say, yes, God started dealing with me here? Everyone can raise a hand, right? Yes, indeed. The 12 apostles were with Jesus 3.5 years. And he took Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't take all 12, just those three. And was transfigured before their eyes, and they saw Moses and Elijah talking. Kind of like we would say today in a vision would be like a television projection, only from God. And what was the message from God directly to those three apostles? This is my son, in my beloved son, in whom I am delighted. Listen to him. Now that burned in their minds. Now let's take Peter one step further. Remember in the last chapter of the Gospel of John, when the disciples were out there fishing, and Jesus came and he fixed the fire alongside the shore, and they hadn't caught anything, so he said, throw the net down on the other side, and they brought in a fantastic haul of fish. And after they were done eating, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Now, I won't get into the particulars of the two different words of love there. That's for a more in-depth study. So he asked him a second time, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, shepherd my sheep. So he asked him the third time. Now, why did he ask him three times? That's the juxtaposition of denying Christ three times, right? He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord. He was grieved. And he said, feed my lambs. All right. We will see Peter learn that lesson. All the other apostles were standing there watching this take place. They learned that lesson as well. So here we have men called of God, filled with God's Spirit, dedicated to the truth, dedicated to going into all the world and preaching the truth, and yes, that prophecy extends down to our day through their writings. because we preach the word. They wrote it, and now we have it. So let's read right here in the first chapter, verse 16, page 1134. For we have not followed cleverly concocted myths as our authority, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his magnificent glory. So here he is talking about he's going to die pretty soon. Did he remember it? Yes, indeed. Motivated everything that Peter did except his mistakes. Because he received glory and honor from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Now he's making a point here. He wants them to understand about the Word of God. Verse 19, we also possess the confirmed prophetic Word. Now what does that mean? Not only the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning Christ being confirmed to them, having been with Christ, lived with him for 3.5 years, and taught by him for 3.5 years, but it was confirmed by Christ himself, who was God manifested in the flesh. So even though we're small and we're a small little part of what God is doing, we need to do what we can do and ask God to bless us and help us and inspire us in everything that we do, just like it was impacted here upon Peter. The confirmed prophetic word. Now, the other meaning of this is the confirmed inspired word of the New Testament. So this contains the meaning of both. Just like Paul wrote to Timothy that you knew the holy writings from a child, and that all scripture, meaning Old and New Testament, is God-breathed. So what I'm doing, I'm covering this to see the Bible approach on what we need to do, and the Bible approach on how I did the translating, because when I read the question here, you will understand. Which you do well to pay attention to, which he said he was going to write it so they would remember it. As to a light shining in a dark place. The Word of God is a light in darkness. Christ is the light of the world. The world is darkness. So this is for us who are living in a dark world, that we know how to live our lives because of the light of the Word of God. Until the day dawns, that means the return of Christ, and the morning star rises in your hearts. That's the resurrection. Because those who are resurrected are going to what? Shine as the stars of heaven. Daniel 12 and Matthew 13:43, right? Yes. Now, put all of that together with verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture. Now, prophecy does not mean just the Old Testament prophecies. This means anything that God has inspired, originated as anyone's own private interpretation. Now, the King James does not have that properly translated. See, this makes it clear, and this is what I have done in translating the New Testament and Old Testament as well. Because prophecy was not brought at any time by human will, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So that's how I approached it. All right. So the question is, Romans 14. So here's the question. Letter was sent to me. In discussing Romans 14:5, you added the words "for eating meat." So the question is, why did I do that? The person with whom I was discussing it said, Fred is being presumptuous with the text as he attempts to clarify a common error regarding what day of the week is holy. Wrong assumption. We'll get to that. It was not, what day do we eat meat? Fred's translation puts a different slant as to the subject, as if when to eat meat was the only thing people were judging their brothers about. Not quite. Misunderstood. See, when you come to a Bible question, you have to ask, that's why we have the 14 rules of Bible study. Okay? By the way, in the homeschooling magazine, the link, we put an advertisement for the Bible in there, and we'll do three issues. And also, they started a religious section, so I asked if they would like an essay. Said, sure, send it. You know what the essay was about? The 14 rules of Bible study. See? And that's in the Bible, and that's in the New Testament. There's a way to study the Bible. You do not come with preconceived notions. Just like when first confronted with the problem concerning the 14-15 Passover, I had to ask the question, because you have to be honest. If you can't be honest with the Word of God, what can you ever be honest with in anything, right? And so, the word was coming down that the Passover really was on the 15th. And we were keeping it on the 14th. And that between the two evenings meant between noon and evening on the 14th. And that's the typical Jewish interpretation. Because in the diaspora, they cannot keep a 14th Passover because Numbers 9 says they have to be in the land when they keep it. So the Jews who do not accept Jesus are right in what they are saying concerning the 15th Passover for the Jews in the diaspora, but they are not correct because Jesus said, go into all the world and teach them everything that I have taught you, which included the 14th Passover. So, I just finished with the first edition of the Harmony of the Gospels, and in there I had written that if there were any changes or information concerning the Passover, I'd be sure and let everyone know and change what needed to be changed, because that's what has to be at every time. Because as human beings, we can make errors, and we can do things that are not right. Inadvertently, that can happen. So, I said to myself, okay, if we cannot find in the Bible where Ba'erev sunset is used and Bein Ha'ar Ba'im between the two evenings is used to show exactly what God meant by those two Hebrew terms, if we can't find it in the Bible, then we have to go with what the Jews has given as the interpretation of it. And so that's what started out the study, which became the Passover book, which is now over 500 pages, which if you don't have one, we'll send it to you. And just to make a long story short, to show you how if you search the scriptures with an open mind, you will find the answer, but you never go with a preconceived conclusion in your own mind first, except you want the truth of God and rightly divide it and rightly put it together. Okay? So there's a distinct place in Exodus 16 that tells us exactly how God used Ba'erev sunset and Bein Ha'ar Ba'im between the two evenings. And that was essential because if your knowledge of Hebrew only goes to Strong's Concordance, you will never find Bein Ha'ar Ba'im there because it's under Erev. And you need to understand this, just like in English. The verb to be is used how many different ways? I am, he is, she is, they are, they were, they have been, I was, I have gone. All of those are of the word to be. So if you go into a concordance and try and look up a derivation of the declension of that verb, you won't find it. Likewise with erev and between the two evenings. You will never find it in Strong's concordance because he didn't break it down that fine. So there it was. Exodus 16. He said, at sunset, ba'erev, you'll see the glory of the Lord, and at sunset, which on the Sabbath day ends the Sabbath day, and it was a Sabbath day, he sent the quail, and he said, you will eat flesh between the two evenings, between sunset and dark. Now, you can't eat the quail before they come. And God was teaching them about the Sabbath, so do you think God would work on the Sabbath to give them an excuse to say, well, God worked on the Sabbath, therefore we can work on the Sabbath? No way. So there it was. When I found out, I bolted right out of bed because I was studying in bed about 11 o'clock at night trying to figure this out, and I was going through the McGill's Hebrew interlinear, and I could see that the two words were different. There it is. So that's in the Bible. So it doesn't matter who says what. What is sunset? What is evening? That is God's definition of using it, quoting God himself. No higher authority. All right. So I will show you why in Romans 14 I have translated it the way that I have translated, and there's a very good reason for it. Okay. Continuing now. Some chose to fast on some days. We will see not so, but that is in a commentary. So if you read the commentary and you don't know the Greek and you don't know how the Greek is laid out, then you will assume that the commentary is correct, because you know less than the writer of the commentary, correct? But don't assume that all commentaries are correct. You must prove all things by the word of God. All right, let's go forward here. Some ate meat on some days, some never ate meat at all, and they were disrupting and judging each other, that part is correct, over what days and what days to not eat meat on. If we are presumptuous with the text, someone who knows the text will use our words to discredit our teachings. Fred is not completely wrong, but his added words do not accurately reflect the complexity of what Paul was writing, and we will see that they do. I found this common to Fred's teachings. Whoever that man is, have him address him to me. That would be nice. He's presumptuous with too many things. It hurts his credibility. All right? So, let's come to Romans 14, verse 1. Oop, a few pages over. Go toward the back of the Bible, because general epistles come before Paul's epistle. Romans 14. And let's begin right here in verse 1, page 1158. Now, first of all, I'm going to read it in the King James. If you have a King James, you can follow along. If you don't have a King James, you can see the difference in it. So let's begin here, Romans 14 and verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive not with doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things. Now, people read that and they say, oh, you can eat unclean meats. But here's another thing that's important to understand, which is this. You have to put it together with all the rest of the Bible. We'll do that in just a minute. You know, in the Old Testament, we're not to eat certain meats there. Now, if you watch the Travel Channel, you can see these guys consume everything. I even saw them eat a in a Vietnamese restaurant, came in, and you ordered live steak, and the waiter brings it right up to your table, and he kills it right there in front of you and takes out the heart, and you eat it while it's raw and still beating. So if you want some stomach-turning events, watch the Travel Channel and watch those guys eat those things. Okay? I don't know how they can eat them, you know. But anyway. And in watching that, especially when he went through the Chinese markets, I could understand Acts 10 more with all the everything coming down from heaven, all kinds of animals and so forth, because it, at any Chinese, how should we say, fast food bazaar, you can get anything that you want. And there was one thing that I remember that this big fat fellow really loved. He said, "Oh, that donkey hide was really delicious." Okay. We'll see. No, you can't eat all things. Try a little arsenic. That'll help prove it to you. Another who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eats despise him who eats not. What is it talking about? Eating food with meat and eating herbs with no meat. That is the subject. Okay, we'll see that a little later. But let not him which eats not meat. Not fasting. You can't interject fasting here in the middle of this because it's completely out of context. Okay? The one who eats not, judge him who eats. We can have that today. We have a lot of vegetarians today. I even have a cookbook, 100% vegetarian recipes. Okay? I haven't read it yet, but at least I got it. Okay? And there are many people today, because of the diseases that we have today, they have to be vegetarians. They cannot eat meat, especially in a case of cancer. Because the protein feeds the covering on a cancer tumor, so it gathers in more of the dead cells to build the cancer tumor even bigger. Because that's the body's reaction to try and get rid of the cancer if it can't get rid of it otherwise. Because we all have cancer cells in our system every day, which are the slough off shell cells when they die. All right. So there are some people, and I remember a minister in the big church we used to go to, there were some brand new Seventh-day Adventist converts who did not eat meat and did not drink wine. So after they were in the church for 2 weeks, brand new people, he invited them over for a barbecue and gave them, "Here's a glass of wine, friend. Woo. And here's a big steak. Welcome to the church." Now that's not the way that you handle it. Okay. Now, verse 4. Who are you that judges another man's servant to his own master? He stands or falls. Yea, he shall be held up and holden up, and God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. What does that mean? Can you choose which day to worship on? That's what the Protestants believe. Then why have the command for the Sabbath? Why did Jesus keep the Sabbath when he was here? Why did the apostles keep the Sabbath? Why did Paul in Acts 13 teach the Gentiles to keep the Sabbath and preach grace on the Sabbath? Because, you see, you need to realize Protestantism is filled with the spirit of Antichrist, which has so many counterfeit doctrines and teachings to lead people away that sound blessedly true. They're not. So we won't get into that. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord. For what? What are you regarding to God? What does that mean? And he that regards not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats is eating to the Lord. and he gives thanks. And he that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and give thanks. Now, fasting is not just the abstinence of food. It is what? Abstinence of food and drink. Okay? So let's see if we can unravel this. All right? Let's come over here to another verse just across the way. Verse 14. Here's one where, again, you take verse 1 and verse 14 and you tie those together. And I just imagine, I don't know how many of you have been Protestants, but you'd be in a Protestant church and minister stand up and say, see, we can eat anything we want to. And here's another mistranslation. Verse 14. I know and understand by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. So, a hog is not unclean, but they still can't figure out the smell in Iowa, and they need $140 million from the government to run a study on it. Now, what does that mean? Unclean. And why did I translate it? Common. But to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Oh, well, now what is that? Is that a new doctrine? Can you declare beef unclean when God says it's clean? Well, if it's got a lot of hormones in it, it's been fed the way men feed it today, it's probably very unhealthy. Okay? But they didn't have that problem there. All right, let's read on and we'll get to topic here. But if your brother be grieved with your meat, now you walk not charitably. Destroy not him with your meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God, now here is the subject, is not meat and drink. All right? He starts out with meat or vegetarianism. And here, verse 14, he says it's not meat and drink. He doesn't say it's not Sabbath Sunday. See, so one of the 14 rules of Bible study is who wrote it, when did he write it, to whom was he writing it, what is the context of it, what is the verse before, what is the verse after, what is the context of the chapter in the whole book, if you need that, and so forth. All right? So we will apply that. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, let's first of all come to hold your place here in Romans 14 because we'll come back. Let's answer the question number one, which is right here, verse 2 of Romans 14. Now, on the one hand, one believes he may eat all things. Now, I inserted the words in italics that are lawful. Why? Because that's a biblical interpretation of what this means. Otherwise, God would be a liar, wouldn't he? If he said things were unclean and you shouldn't eat them? And even today, if you're not in the church, you go to the doctor and you have heart problems, he says, stop that swine. Right? Because they know it's not good for you. Now, why did I insert that are lawful? I'll answer that in just a minute. But on the other hand, another who is weak eats only vegetables. Now let's come to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And we will answer the question. Here again, I also did some insertion of words to make it clear. Because they come to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and they read it and say that if you ask a blessing on it, you can eat it. Well, try that with arsenic. Okay. 1 Timothy 4, page 1218. We'll begin in verse 1. So what I did in translating here, I used the Greek. I followed the Greek. I was honest with the Greek. I prayed every day, God, help me so I'm not presumptuous. I don't want to put in anything that should not be there. I don't want to add to it. I don't want to take from it. But when you translate from one language to another, you sometimes need more words than you do in the original Greek. And in our modern day, you sometimes need some clarifying words so it becomes understandable, and all of those I put in italics so the reader would know. All right, verse 1, 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit tells us expressly that in the latter time some shall apostatize from the faith and shall follow deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisies, their conscience having been cauterized with hot iron, forbidding to marry. Wonder what church has that? And commanding to abstain from meats. Whoa. So I have and commanding. Because forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Now notice, here is the key understanding to lead you to the truth. So when in doubt, read the verse, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by the faithful, even by those who know the truth. Oh, what is truth? Your word is the truth. What is the truth concerning clean and unclean meats? Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14. Okay. Nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving because. Now this tells us you are not to pray over unclean meats when you understand it. Because it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Sanctified means being set aside as holy. By the word of God, first he tells you, you can eat these things, you can't eat these things, these are clean, these are unclean. Isn't that what it tells us? Yes. All right. And prayer. Isn't that what Jesus did? Yes. When he fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000. You notice he didn't take the 2,000 swine into which he cast the demons and blessed the swine flesh. No, he sent them on into the to the swine, and what did they do? They drowned in the sea. Okay? Good riddance to bad swine flesh. Those were being grown there for the Roman soldiers. You know that, don't you? And for the non-believing Jews. Okay? So, being sanctified by the word of God is the key. Okay? It could also be translated food. But that also defines meat by the very nature of it. Okay? Now, let's read verse 4 again and let's see how I translated it in the light of what we just read. For every creature of God designated for human consumption is good. Now, why did I put designated for human consumption? Because, verse 5 says, it's sanctified by the word of God. God designated it. And prayer, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. All right. So when we come back here to Romans 14, now let's go back there in verse 1, this explains to you why I inserted the word all things that are lawful, because you're not going to eat things that are unlawful. If you follow the word of God, because there's unity of scripture between the Old and New Testament. Right, continuing verse 2. On the other hand, another one who is weak eats only vegetables. Why? Now they had a particular problem where they lived. All right. The problem was this. They did not have supermarkets like we have today, and you can go get everything all cut up and taken care of. And if you didn't raise animals, because you didn't live in the country, but you lived in the city, where did you get your meat? Well, you got your meat from the local temple, because that's where they were sacrificed. And the local temple was pagan. That's addressed in 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. We won't have time to go through that. Okay? And Paul even allowed them to eat the cooked portion of the food at the restaurants, which were right alongside the shanties, right alongside the temple. Just like you see many of the markets in other countries where they have little shanties where they sell them. So he said, if it's sacrificed to an idol is nothing, and it doesn't change the composition of the meat, and it is not contaminated, because an idol we know is nothing. Now other people said, ooh, sacrifice to an idol, I'm not going to eat anything there. And I can tell you this for sure, that if you have modern day Jews, they go by kosher, correct? Yes. They wouldn't buy anything from an outfit like that. You can be guaranteed. And they would tell you, I eat only vegetables because I can't find any meat fit to eat. Correct? Yes, you would. Without a doubt. So this is what we're dealing with here, see? That's why there were vegetarians, and that's why there were those who were meat eaters along with the rest of their food. Okay? Verse 3. The one who eats meat should not despise the one who does not eat it. And the one who does not eat meat should not condemn the one who eats it, for God has received him. So there is the subject. Verses 2 and 3. To eat meat or not eat meat is the subject. Now, in Greek, when you go down, you could almost divide this into A, B. The one who eats meat, the one who doesn't eat meat. A, B. And you go down, and that's how the Greek handles it. Fasting is not even in the picture. Sunday keeping or choosing any day to worship on is not even in the picture. Has nothing whatsoever to do with what Paul is writing about. Let's go to the next track, please.